All right, let's take our Bibles and turn with me to the book of Genesis, chapter 24. Genesis 24. Amazing thing about the 24th chapter of the book of Genesis. Of course, this is the account of Abraham sending his servant to seek a bride for Isaac. And there's many passages in the Word of God where the Spirit of God has been pleased to give very few details. But this book is, this chapter right here is amazing in the fact of the detail that the Spirit was pleased to grant unto us. And having given that detail, we want to be very careful, very cautious, to consider that which he has written. So the steward, the servant of Abraham, was commissioned, commanded by Abraham to go out. Now, we're not told who the steward is, who the servant is. Very possibly it was Eleazar. That was one that Abraham named back chapters ago that he thought would be his only heir. But the Lord said he's not going to be your heir. But the Spirit of God doesn't tell us that it's Eleazar. So we don't want to presume who it is. The exclusion of this servant's identity is to the honor of the Lord Jesus Christ. I mean, we find often whenever the Lord is pleased to reveal something, for that we're thankful. And when he doesn't, he doesn't. Whenever John the Baptist was asked, are you the one? Are you the Christ? And he said, I'm not the Christ. Well, who are you? He said, I'm voice crying in the wilderness, make straight the way of the Lord, as said the prophet Isaiah. So we learn from these things that we seek to bring honor unto our Lord and not to ourselves. Well, this servant sent by Abraham and led by God's Spirit goes to the country of Abraham, not knowing who the woman might be, but knowing the natural place where women would gather to come and fill their watering pots. And he's not assuming, he's not being presumptuous, but rather he's keenly mindful of the importance of the oath that he's entered into with Abraham. Not just any woman is going to do. It must be the appointed damsel for Isaac, a fit picture of the bride of the Lord Jesus Christ. Our Lord is no beggar. He's not trying to get somebody to love him or try to get somebody to come to him. It's not going to be just any bride. There is a bride that has been chosen by the Father, has been redeemed by the Son, and shall be called in time by the Spirit of God, regenerated, and therefore is accepted in the Beloved. Now, beholding the significance of our passage here, the servant now begins to, he's come to this place, he's come to a well, and he pours out his heart unto the Lord. Verses 12 to 14, Genesis 24, he says, O Lord God of my master Abraham, I pray thee, send me good speed this day and show kindness unto my master Abraham. What if let's learn what we just read. Whenever we're called to do something, whatever we're doing, let's remember, Lord, give me good speed here. Lord, bless this. Bless this, my effort. Bless my direction. Behold, I stand here by the well of water, And the daughters of the men of the city come out to draw water. And let it come to pass that the damsel to whom I shall say, let down thy pitcher, I pray thee, that I may drink. And she shall say, drink. And I will give thy camels drink also. Let the same be she that thou hast appointed for thy servant Isaac. And thereby shall I know that thou hast showed kindness unto my master. Now, we're taught something here. We have liberty to ask specifically. We ask our Lord in the garden. Remember, I brought this out. He asked specifically. He said, "Father, if this cup might pass from me, if it be your will, nevertheless, if this cup may pass from me, nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done." He asks specifically. And this servant is asking specifically. I mean, he's very specific on what he's asking. He's trusting. And he's waiting until the Lord opens the door. He's going to bring to pass his will and his purpose. His counsel is going to stand. And so, therefore, we're commanded. The Lord said in Matthew 7:7-8, ask. And it shall be given you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh, receiveth. And he that seeketh, findeth. Now this is specific. And to him that knocketh, it shall be opened. He said, you ask, you seek, and you knock, and I will answer. Now, the answer may be no. But he's going to answer. Somebody said, well, I don't think the Lord's given me an answer yet. Well, keep knocking. Keep seeking. He that asketh, he that seeketh, knocketh. Verse 15, and it came to pass, before he had done speaking, and behold, Rebekah came out, who was born to Bethuel, son of Milcah, wife of Nahor, Abraham's brother, with her pitcher upon her shoulder. Now, here now, time and eternity meet. Here was the Lord's servant, Abraham's servant, seeking according to the Lord's will, asking specifically, and the Lord who works all things out according to his will, hears. And it wasn't that the prayer of the servant moved God to act. Let's remember, it was the will of the Lord to bring about his purpose, moving the servant by his spirit that helpeth us, because we don't know what to pray for. It was the Lord that moved the servant to ask according to the Lord's will. So may we learn to wait and see the salvation of our God. Remember this, our prayers don't change things. Worketh all things after the counsel of his own will. Brother Henry said this one time. He said, prayer doesn't change things. The one to whom we pray orders all things according to his will. Does that mean we don't pray? No, that means we do pray. And when you pray, but when we pray, we ask the Lord, Lord, if it be your will. Lord, if it be your purpose, if it be according to your good pleasure. So here, verse 16 says, the damsel was very fair to look upon, a virgin. Neither had any man known her. And she went down to the well and filled her pitcher and came up. Now, we're not told whether there were any other women there at the well. And so, again, we don't speculate. But there's one thing that we do know about this particular woman. And the scripture says that she was very fair to look upon. Now, do we not see a beautiful picture of the bride of the Lord Jesus Christ? The elect bride of our Lord, in her particular beauty to him. To him. Song of Solomon 4:9, thou hast ravished my heart, my sister, my spouse, thou hast ravished my heart with one of thine eyes, with one chain of thy neck. Being chosen in Christ, being redeemed by the Lord Jesus Christ, having a new man formed within by the Holy Spirit, robed in his righteousness, the scriptures set forth the fairness of the bride. That's what the Lord said. You've stolen my heart. With one of your eyes, you stole my heart. So we see Rebecca here being a picture of God's work of grace within his people. And her countenance. I'm looking at a group of people right here. And, you know, everybody, I've said this before. This is what I would always use as an example when painting a portrait. Everybody's got a nose, two eyes, two ears, and a mouth. But it's something about every person that's different. There's just something about them that's different. They all have those, you know, basic characteristics, but there's something about every one of them that's different. And that countenance, that visage, was given by God. And Rebecca's countenance was too, given by the Lord. And it wasn't a beauty. She was fair to look upon, but it wasn't a beauty that was produced by her own cunning or ability. And the beauty of the bride is not found within herself either. The scripture says in Psalm 149:4, for the Lord taketh pleasure in his people. He will beautify the meek with salvation. So we look upon this picture of Rebecca right here, and we see how the beauty of this woman is a picture type of the beauty of the Christ. And then notice also the action of Rebecca. Yes, she pictures the spotless virgin of God's eternal love and counsel. Though as yet the servant did not know who she was. The scripture says that she went down to the well. Now, again, in these beautiful scriptures that set forth these details about this particular woman and this particular servant, Isaac and Abraham, and seeing this unfold before our eyes, these details, these truths are not put there just for fun. This is breathed by God's Spirit. She went down to the well. The well being a picture of Christ himself. The living water himself. She went down to the well, a fit picture of that which the Lord causes all of his people, to whom he'd been pleased to show mercy. He brings us down in ourselves, abasing us before him, and that he might lift us up in mercy and in compassion. So she went down to the well, and the scripture says she went down to the well and filled her pitcher. Shadow again, a type again of being brought low before the well himself and being filled by him. And the pitcher being filled, you know, she came up. That's what it says. She came up. Beautiful picture of our rescue. Turn to Psalm 30. Beautiful picture of our being rescued and lifted up in our precious Savior. Look at this Psalm 30. Here's a beautiful verse of scripture. One verse. Psalm 30, verse 1, I will extol thee, O Lord, for thou hast lifted me up and hast not made my foes to rejoice over me. So here she is, this servant, he's just prayed. And while he was praying, before he finished praying, Rebecca, she came up and she's got this water pitcher. And she goes over to the well, and he just watches. And she fills her pitcher with water. Now, he knows what he's asked the Lord. He asked it in his heart. He says that later in this chapter. He said, I was speaking in my heart. And he said, let the woman that be, you know, Lord, your choice, let it be that she'll come and she'll draw water, and then I'll ask her for a drink of water, and she'll give me a drink of water, and then also she'll not only say, I'll give you a drink of water, but I'm gonna water your camels for you too. So here's this woman, he's watching her, and she's beautiful, beautiful woman. And she takes that pitcher, and she goes down, and she fills that pitcher up with water. And the scripture says in verse 17, and the servant ran to meet her and said, "Let me, I pray thee, drink a little water of thy pitcher." Now, he waited until this woman went down to that well, and he saw her fill that pitcher with water, and he runs up to her, and she's not been revealed to him yet. What he's doing is he's waiting on the Lord. He's not assuming anything. He's waiting. This woman has the outward characteristics of that which would be desirable for a wife. She was fair to look upon, and she was obviously industrious. And she was humble. She was a prudent woman, and providence so ordered that her actions began to answer. They began to answer what he had asked concerning that prayer. He asked for a drink, not merely to quench his physical thirst, but rather that his spiritual thirst for the Lord's direction might be seen. He just asked her for a glass of water, drink of water. And in 18 to 20, it says, "And she said, 'Drink, my Lord.' And she hasted, let down her pitcher upon her hand, and gave him drink. And when she had done giving him drink, she said, 'I will draw water for thy camels also until they have done drinking.' And she hasted and emptied her pitcher into the trough and ran again unto the well to draw water and drew for all his camels." Now, without being prompted, he asked her for a drink of water. But without being prompted to do anything else, she not only gave him to drink, but offered her the services of giving water to the camels, and then having beheld so much that would be naturally speaking cause many to prematurely act, this servant just wisely continued to wait. He just watched. I've watched reading this over and over and over. It was amazing to me. Man, I'm telling you, there's times that something will start happening like this, and I'm the first one. I'm going to just jump right in there and say, you know, well, whoa, here we go. Not him. No, sir. The scripture says in verse 21, "And the man, wondering at her, held his peace, to wit, whether the Lord had made his journey prosperous or not." The servant, having seen what he had, was now wondering. He was astonished. He was stunned. Now, I'm sure that those of you that know him, there's times when there's things that we have asked or thought or prayed about, and we began to see something of those things, and you're thinking, he hears. He really heard me. You know, we read that in the scripture. The Lord heareth the prayers of his people. He knows. But whenever you see it, you think, Lord, God of heaven, forgive me where I failed to thank you. He sat there and he, wondering, just astonished. He didn't know anything, but rather he held his peace to wit, or to know, whether the Lord had made his journey prosperous or not. Now do we not see wisdom here? The how quickly we would naturally act rather than just waiting. You say, yeah, but it's just everything has come to pass. You're gonna wait. He's going to wait. Do we not wonder to behold the marvel of the unfolding of his power to accomplish bringing about which he's eternally purposed? And, you know, we wonder at the miracle of his mighty hand to bring down pride, naturally found in every vessel of his affection. It's just always there. That's why we're born. But we look and we behold these things that we read in these scriptures. I was thinking about this afternoon, just before we came over here. How consistent. You go back in the book of Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, right on through all the scriptures, and you see the way, the attitude, you see the word, the speech of these believers back then. And this way we talk. We told you like they talk. You know, we wonder just like they wondered. We behold just like they did. You think this is the way God's people react, and he saw what was going on, and he was stunned by it. And he didn't say anything. He just waited to see whether or not the Lord would prosper his journey. Then in verses 22, 25, it came to pass, as the camels had done drinking, that the man took a golden earring, half a shekel of weight, two bracelets for her hands of 10 shekels, weight of gold, and said, "Whose daughter art thou? Tell me, I pray thee, is there room in thy father's house for us to lodge in?" And she said unto him, "I am the daughter of Bethuel, the son of Milcah, which she bare unto Nahor. And she moreover unto him, and she said moreover unto him, we have both straw and provender enough, and room to lodge in." Now, this servant, when you read this, it said that he took out, it came to pass, when they had done drinking, that the man took a golden earring, half a shekel, and he took this jewelry out. Now, the thing is, he gave these gifts unto Rebekah after he asked her who she was. The reason I know that, turn over to verse 47. In this account right here, same chapter, but he's relating now to her family. We'll get this. He's relating to his family now after all this has taken place. Look at verse 47. He said, "I asked her and said, whose daughter art thou? And she said, the daughter of Bethuel, Nahor's son, whom Milcah bare unto him. And I put the earrings upon her face and the bracelets upon her hand." So what, you know, he just tells us when he gave them. He took them out and he asked her. He said, "Who are you? Who are you?" Well, he surely gave her these gifts. I don't doubt this for a second, as a token of his appreciation for her help and her kindness and her assistance. Gave him a drink and she watered. But more so, he's going to set forth the wonder and the beauty and the wealth of Isaac. He's there to find a bride for Isaac. And he's going to tell her everything that he can set forth to her concerning Isaac. And Isaac is the son of Abraham. And Abraham has been blessed of God. And here's Abraham, a picture of the father. And Isaac is a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ. And what do we do when we preach the gospel? We're setting forth the glory, the honor, the majesty, the power, the wealth, the kindness, the compassion of our Lord and Savior. We're telling the world. You go into all the world and you preach the gospel to every creature. The gospel is concerning the Lord Jesus Christ. That's Romans 1. That's what the gospel is. It's the proclamation of who Christ is, what he's done, where he is now, and soon to come back to get his people. And we're telling people, you go into all the world and you tell everybody, you preach the gospel to everybody, and everything that anybody knows about the Lord Jesus Christ is what they hear through a preacher. That's all they know. That's all this woman knows. All she knows about Isaac is what that servant, that steward, is going to tell her. That's all she knows. may have never heard of him, never heard of Abraham. Maybe she did, maybe she didn't. I don't know. She was of his family, but I don't know how much she knew, but I don't know. But I can tell you this, she didn't know that she was a sought out bride, and neither does the bride of Christ. They don't know they're being sought out, not until the Spirit calls them. They don't know they're one of God's elect. They don't know anything. So what do? We tell everybody. We preach the gospel. And the Spirit of God, who moves and blows as the wind, he's gonna call out the bride. So we're talking. He's talking to her. And he brings out these jewels. I know he gave her something, you know, out of appreciation. Gave her some jewelry for what she did. But more than that, these were more than just a token of his appreciation. They're a declaration of the wealth of Abraham and Isaac. This servant had told her of the wealth of his master, and now he's going to show her something. Show her something of the promise that would be given, the inheritance that would be given. Here's what he's saying. He knows he's looking for a bride. And whoever is the bride of Isaac, all of this is going to be hers too. That which is the sons is the bride. We're heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. And here's the wealth. This is the wealth of my master. And the servant acted not out of hasty presumption, but rather acted prudently. He's holding his peace. He's watching. He's taking note of that which is unfolding before him. And though she had done what he had asked the Lord, still, he waited to see if this woman, he's not there yet. He hadn't asked the question yet. He's going to tell them, Lord willing, we'll start looking at this next time, but he's going to start telling them that what he's there for, why he's come. I'm on a mission. I'm here to find a bride for my master's son. I'm here to find a bride, and he's going to see whether or not this woman's going to be willing to come. This is why he's holding his peace. This is why he's patient. He asked her lineage again in response to Abraham's demand. Who are you? Who are you? What's your daddy's name? What's your lineage? And she tells him, here's who I am right here. So in response to Abraham's demand, you go to my country and you go to my people. You go to my lineage. And he asked, is there room in your father's house for us to lodge? And would the Lord move upon this woman and her family to have him, those that he might be and stay and be tended to, that he might have opportunity to expound more fully? He's going to tell them why he's there. She was here. Obviously, she's one given to hospitality. We got room. We got room. We got food. We got food for your servants here. We got room for your animals. And then the scripture says in verses 26 to 28, and we'll stop here for tonight. And man, after he asked her in verse 25, and she said, yes, this is who I am. I'm the daughter of Bethuel, son of Milcah, bear to Nahor. This is Abraham's brother. And so he said, this is Abraham's family. And she said, we have straw provender enough, room to lodge in. We got room for you. And in verse 26, and the man bowed down his head and he worshiped the Lord. And he said, blessed be the Lord God of my master Abraham, who hath not left destitute my master of his mercy and his truth. I being in the way, the Lord led me to the house of my master's brethren. And the damsel ran and told them of her mother's house these things. Now, with a heart of thanksgiving, this servant of Abraham, he worships God. He gives unto the Lord the honor and the glory that's due his name. He's worshiping the covenant God of all grace. When you see that capital L-O-R-D, you say, that's Jehovah. That's right, that's Jehovah. Father, Son, Spirit. That's the covenant God. That's the God of covenant grace. And that's what he says. He bowed, he worshiped. He said, blessed be the covenant God of my master, Abraham, who's not left me destitute. And then hearing that prayer of the servant, the damsel, the scripture says, she ran home and shared that which had transpired that day. And she did the very thing that the Lord commanded that delivered demoniac of Gadara. When that regenerated sinner asked the Lord, he said, I want to go with you. When you go, and the Lord said, no. He said, you go back to your home and you tell your family, you tell your people what great things the Lord has done for you. That's what I want you to do. You do that. That's what she did. And Lord willing, the next time we look at it, we'll begin to see that conversation that just opens up and how the Lord was pleased to just call out this bride. You know he's going to call her. You know the story. But isn't it wonderful just to walk through these scriptures and see how he did it one more time. I pray God bless this to our heart. Amen. Okay, Gary.